Yeah, just all about Him. And if we get out of the way and just yield to Him and follow Him, then He can do big things through us. Yes? God's got good things for us today, man. It was a great time of worship, and I'm just thankful. How many of you thankful to be here today? How many of you would rather be here than the best hospital in town? Yeah, the best jail in town. Praise God. Janice and I we're thankful to be here. We're honored to be here with Pastor Randy and Melissa and Jeremy and this wonderful church. It's just an honor for us to share. You know, I can remember when I was in Bible college and, you know, praying that Jesus wouldn't return before I graduated. and then we started a church and we grew a mega church in three and a half years. We grew a mega church from 14 to 40 people it was like people stayed away in droves, you know, but yet I had this message burning in my heart. The thing that I believe the Spirit of God wants to communicate with us today is that what He's called you to do and what your kingdom assignment is not insignificant. Amen. It's very significant. Are you hearing me? Amen. It's very significant. The Lord has need of you. Yeah? And too many times we compare ourselves among ourselves. You know, we compare ourselves with Andrew, or we compare ourselves with, you know, whoever the super duper is in your life. But I tell you, the only thing we can compare ourselves to and with is Jesus, and He's in us, and we have Him, and we can do great things. God will do great things through you. Yes, He will, and you know, He's got great things for you. But I remember when I was, and this isn't my message, but this is to encourage somebody here. I remember about 2 years into that assignment to pastor, and you know, we might have 40 people on Sunday morning, maybe 75 on Easter, you know what I mean, if we had really had a good day. And I mean, I felt, and we were in Houston, Texas, and I felt like a failure. And then one day I came up to the church and I couldn't get out of the car. I didn't have an umbrella and it was pouring down rain. And I was just complaining to God. Any of you have ever done that? I know Andrew hasn't, but I did. And God, you know, I know you called me for more than just 40 little sheep, you know. And I know you've called. I know you've called me to reach thousands of people. I have things on the inside of me and a message and it's, you know, for 40 little sheep. And finally, the Lord said, "Are you done?" How many of you know when He asks you a question like that? And I said, "Well, I guess so." And he said, "If all I called you here for is the transformation and change I've made," and He named this one man. He said, "Is that enough for you?"
Amen.
And I just saw what I was doing. I was valuing my ministry and what I was doing based on nickels, numbers, and noses, on how many people came. And God doesn't value things that way.
Amen.
He values things by you just being willing to do whatever He calls you to do and whoever He calls you to minister to. And He said, I would send somebody across the globe to minister to one of your children. And I got it. And I mean, this guy that He mentioned, God, man, he was a rough case. And, you know, he would cuss his kids and, you know, verbally abuse his wife. And, man, God had radically changed this man. And it was like all of a sudden I settled into the kingdom assignment that He had for me. And there were 2 years or 2.5 years of time that had passed, and I was, you know, I was not happy with myself, and not, and the Lord said, I sent you here, and I'm pleased with what's going on, and the increase belongs to me. Amen. You can't make increase happen, but you can make obedience happen.
Amen.
And somebody needs to hear that today, that God's pleased with you. His pleasure is over you. And He doesn't value things the way we value them. Are you hearing me? And then it was not long after that we merged that church with another church, and we moved to, God called me to Decatur, Texas. Went from 4.5 million in Houston to 5,000 people. The whole city rolled up at 6 o'clock at night. It was like, I thought God was sentencing me to anonymity. But in that church grew from 60 to 400 in 3 years. And that's where I met Paul Milligan, who's now the CEO of Andrew's Ministry. That's where I met Andrew. That's where I met Bob Nichols, my pastor today. So many significant kingdom connections. Guys, it's about obedience. It's not about you trying to value things the way the world values them. Are you just being obedient?
Amen.
Are you doing what God asks you to do? His pleasure is over you, Randy and Melissa and Jeremy. His pleasure is over you, Kingdom Life Church. His you just being obedient to what He's called you to do. The assignment that He has for you is significant. Are you hearing me? And He doesn't value things the way we value them, but we need to agree. When he visited me intangibly that day in that car, it was like all of a sudden I just settled into the assignment He had for me. And then I, all of a sudden, boom, the rain stopped. And I looked over to, and was going to grab my briefcase out of my car, and there was a double rainbow in the end of the parking lot. And He just wants me to, He wants me to tell, I've got another message I want to preach, but He wants me to share with you, His pleasure is over you for you just doing what He's asked you to do. And don't compare yourselves among yourselves. You just do, when we stand before the Lord, He's not going to ask us what great thing we've done. Have you just been obedient?
Amen.
Have you just been obedient? I was in Bible college in about a couple of months in Bible college in 1979. Okay, I was 15, and I was young, but younger. And in 1979, Miss America was Cheryl Pruitt. Cheryl Pruitt Salem, if anybody is old enough to remember that. Anyway, I came into Bible college one day, and there were limousines and things there. I thought maybe it was the governor, and I walked in, and it was Cheryl Pruitt Salem, Miss America, came to Rhema Bible College. That's where I went to Bible college because Karis wasn't around. And so she got up and testified about how when she was a little girl, she contracted polio. And one of her legs was 6 inches shorter than the other. And when she was, I think, maybe 14 years old, her family took her to, friends and family took her to a Kenneth Hagin meeting. I believe it was in Jackson, Mississippi, somewhere in Mississippi. And she was prayed for. She fell out under the power. For those of you who are concerned about that being of the Lord or not, anyway, she fell out under the presence of God and couldn't get up. And her family had to carry her back to her car. When she got home and woke up the next morning, the leg that was 6 inches shorter than the other was normal. And they didn't have email back then, so they called and sent a testimony, and it never got to Brother Hagin. And she said, one of the first things I wanted to do after I became Miss America, I wanted to come back and say thank you. And Brother Hagin got up and stood before all of us students and then Miss America, and he was crying. And he's like Andrew. He doesn't have much emotion, and his tears running down. He said, "I had to repent this morning to God, and I'm repenting before you." He said, "Because that meeting in Jackson, Mississippi, we had labeled a bust. It was the lowest attended meeting that we ever had. It was the fewest number of salvations, the fewest numbers, any way you could measure success of a meeting, the fewest numbers of healings, the fewest numbers of baptisms of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord showed, and we lost $10,000 at that meeting, and the Lord's showing me today that He'll send me to a meeting that the world would call a bust and lose $10,000 to invest in getting a little girl healed who will become Miss America."
Amen.
And guys, we listen. Amen. And I learned something that day, is that God doesn't value things the way we value them. And we've got to just simply be obedient to what He's told us to do. And when we stand before the Lord, you know, I mean, people are going to come and say thank you. I mean, Brother Hagin heard that one, but how many more that were healed and blessed that didn't, he never heard about there. Listen, your obedience makes a difference in the lives of others. Amen? And James and Pat, the Lord just wants me to tell you that He's prepared a body for you. There are people waiting. There are people hurting. There are people that need the message and the love that you have.
Amen.
And Father, we just agree in Jesus' name,
yes,
that you're opening doors that no man will shut. The favor of God is on this couple.
Yes.
And Father, that you have said, you've said it. There's a people and a body you've prepared for them. And so, Lord, we thank you that your divine connections, divine appointments. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So, somebody needed to hear that today before it was my message before the message. It's really what this book is about. It's just flowing in the supernatural. Guys, when we have assignment with people, we go minister to people, but, you know, we need the Holy Spirit. See, you have all this knowledge that you get by reading the Bible, hearing people preach and teach, what you get in church, and you get all these pieces of knowledge and you put them in different file cabinets in your mind and heart, right? Okay? And then knowledge is just accumulation of facts. Understanding is the proper arrangement of the truth and facts. You just put them in the right file. You know where to categorize them. Wisdom is the proper application of those facts. And so the wisdom comes from the Holy Spirit. So it's like, Lord, I don't know what to say or what to do, but if I'll depend on you, and if I've deposited some things in there, then I can draw it out, right? That's what people need. They don't need the whole cafeteria. They don't need the whole restaurant. They just need to be fed with people who have a word in season. Are you hearing me? So that's what this book is about. It's my brand new book. Andrew wrote the introduction. Just read the endorsements in the introduction in the foreword by Marilyn Hickey. It'll bless you. I'm telling you, you'll get blessed. But essentially what this book is about is, you know, in the Old Testament He said, "I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." In the New Testament He said, "I'll pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh." How many of you know there's a difference between the two? And, you know, He's not pouring it out anymore. He's pouring out of, from us. You and I are the vessels He pours out of. Yeah? But what we've got to do is learn how to cooperate and be sensitive to the Spirit so He can pour out what people need.
Amen.
Not just some fact that we pull out on our own, But we're listening to him because people, God knows what people need. He knows what they need. He knows how to minister a word in season. And that's what this book is about. It's about how to have confidence in flowing in the supernatural. It's just what I did just a minute ago.
It's not being weird. Yes.
It's not swinging from chandeliers. Yes. It's not developing an insecure life where you have to tell somebody, well, God told me this and God told me that every 15 times a day. You know, you're just insecure, and you're trying to prove to people that you're hearing God. Just let it flow. That's what this is about. I really want to encourage you to get the book. I will sign those, and any of my other books. I mean, all of my stuff is. I left all the junk at home. All my stuff is good, so I like it anyway. Praise God. All right. So open your Bibles wherever you want. I'm going to be in 1 John chapter 5. We'll read a few other verses. I'll tell you a funny first, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, look, you can go on gregmoore.com and I'm starting to compile a list of funnies. So you can get them and use them, okay? And then I've also got I'm going to have a quote of the week and a funny of the week, and I've got blogs and different things on there that'll bless you. All right. And I've also got you can go on my Greg Moore Ministries page on Facebook, and you'll get the same thing. All right. Let me tell you funny. So this is called Three Holy Men and a Bear. So a Catholic priest, a Baptist preacher, and a rabbi all served as chaplains to the students of Northern Michigan University in Marquette. And they get together once a week to have coffee and talk shop. One day someone made a comment that preaching to people wasn't really all that hard. I don't know where they were pastored at, but a real challenge would be to preach to a bear. And so one thing led to another, and they decided to do an experiment. They would all go out into the woods, find a bear, preach to it, and attempt to convert it. 7 days later, they all came together to discuss their experience. Father Flannery, who had his arm in a sling, was on crutches and had various bandages on his body and limbs, went first. He said, "Well, brothers," he said, "I went into the woods and found me a bear. And when I found him, I began to read to him from the catechism. And that bear wanted nothing to do with me, and he began to slap me around. So I quickly grabbed my holy water and sprinkled him. And Holy Mary, Mother of God, he became gentle as a lamb. And the bishop's coming out next week to give him First Communion and confirmation. Reverend Billy Bob from the First Missionary Baptist Church, Hellfire and Brimstone. He spoke next. He was in a wheelchair, had one arm in both casts, both legs in casts. He had an IV drip in his best Hellfire and Brimstone oratory. He said, "Well, brothers, you know, we don't sprinkle in my denomination. And I went out and found me a bear. And then I began to read to my bear from God's holy word. Well, that bear wanted nothing to do with me. So I took a hold of him, and we began to wrestle. We wrestled down one hill and up another, down another, until we came to a creek, and I quickly dunked him and baptized his hairy soul. And just like you said, he became gentle as a lamb, and we spent the rest of the day praising Jesus." Hallelujah. The priest and the reverend both looked down at the rabbi, who was lying in a hospital bed. He was in a body cast and traction, and IVs running in and out of him. He was in really bad shape. And the rabbi looked up and said, "Looking back on it, brothers, circumcision may not have been the best way to start." Yeah, you might want to you might want to change that. All right. Well, if a merry heart does good like a medicine, doesn't it? Amen. Praise God. Okay, so 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. So for whatever is born of God, how many of you are born of God? Okay. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is a victory that's overcome the world, even our faith. So whoever is born of God has the capacity to overcome the world. That means if you live out of your spirit man and live from your spirit man and develop your relationship with God, how many of you know that's where He dwells? Greater is He that is in you. Where is He in you at? In your spirit man. Okay? You're going to walk in victory. You're going to walk in overcoming. And the means to our victory over the world is our faith. Now, guys, how many of you believe you're saved by grace? Wrong. How many of you believe you're saved by faith? Wrong. Okay, you're saved by grace through faith. Everybody say, by grace through faith. And in Colossians 2:6 says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus by grace through faith, so walk in Him by grace through faith. It's never all grace, and it's never all faith. In fact, you can't have faith for something that God's grace has not provided for you or assigned for you. Now, there's some things that, you know, and I know you guys have been taught this well here and in Charis Bible College, that, you know, the finished work of the cross provided us, you know, forgiveness of sins and eternal life and peace of mind and prosperity and health, right? Okay, but that's one dimension of grace. But 1 Peter chapter 4, 10 and 11 talks about the manifold grace of God. In other words, grace is multidimensional. It's not just what most people, what they understand about God's grace is what Jesus did at the cross for all of us. But there are other dimensions of grace. There's responsibility grace. The grace, Titus 2:11, God, the grace of God teaches us that we are to deny ungodliness and live righteously. That's responsibility grace or discipleship grace. Then there's leadership grace. Then there's giving and receiving grace. Then there's assignment grace. In 2 Corinthians 10, the Apostle Paul said, I don't step outside of the boundaries beyond what God has called, or beyond the sphere of what God's called me to. I've got a grace to do what I'm called to do. You've got a grace to do what you've called to do. But guys, it's not all grace. It's grace. If you're going to walk in any dimension of grace, you've got to exercise faith. You've got to say, yes, Lord. You've got to believe. Amen? And so here, he's saying the way you're going to overcome the world is by your faith. But you've got to understand what you're called to overcome first. Are you hearing me? And so victory and the will of God is not automatic. You got to believe it. Yes? Does anybody here have God's word or a promise on something and that you know God has promised to you? And then there are things opposing it. How many of you have ever had that? All right? Okay, it's your faith that'll overcome that. It's where you don't let go of it. God's grace provides it and offers it to you, but you've got to grab it, hold on to it. Okay, don't let go of it. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. Yes? Amen. And your faith is what will bring you into the victory that grace provides. And God, by His grace, has provided us with everything we need, but we've got to believe it. And when we believe it, and the problem is, guys, We try to believe for things that God, and we confuse ourselves. We try to believe for things that we're not sure God's grace has provided. And I can't, John 3:27, a man can receive nothing unless it's been given him from heaven. A man can receive nothing. You know what? I only want to receive what heaven is assigned to me. Okay? And I only want to believe for everything he's provided for me, no more, no less. Yeah? And you know how we confuse ourselves many times? Is we're praying for things before we've taken the time to make sure that's a grace assignment to you. Or his grace has provided it for you. And I don't want to confuse my faith. I don't want to confuse myself. I don't want to pray. Stop praying for things that you're not sure God's grace has provided. That's why many people don't receive from the Lord, because they're praying flippant prayers that they haven't taken the time to make sure you either have the Word of God on it. You know, we're gonna have a healing service here on Tuesday night. Okay, I want to encourage you to invite people to come, and you to come. People will be healed. But many times before I pray for people, I'll ask them, "What scripture are you standing on?" Why would I want to pray for you, and you don't even know that it's God's will? You don't have anything to have faith in, and too many times we lay hands on people too suddenly. And Matthew 7, verse 7 said, what does it say? I think it said, seek and you find, ask and it'll be given you. Seek, well, let me read it. Matthew 7, verse 7. Sometimes it's good just turn to the verse. Ask and it will be given you. Everybody say ask.
Ask.
And it'll be given you. Seek. Everybody say seek.
Seek.
And you'll find knock and it'll be open to you. Okay. Here's what the Lord showed me about that verse. Ask for what you're sure about. That you got, you know it's from the Word. Ask for what you're sure about. Seek Him about what you're not sure about. And then knock. Don't give up. It's not like you're knocking on heaven's door. You be persistent. Don't let go. Don't stop believing just because it's taken a while. Okay? And you will fully receive everything you ask. But too many times we're asking for things we're not sure about. What do I mean? I'm not sure about the will of God concerning that thing. I don't have scripture on it. I don't have a witness in my heart about it. I'm not praying for anything like that anymore. That's a wasted prayer. I'll seek God about it, but I'm not praying and believing for it until I'm sure about it. Are you hearing me? And so you can't exercise faith for something God's grace has not provided. Likewise, you can't receive what God's grace has provided apart from your faith. And so so it's kind of a balancing truth here. Is you ask God for what you're sure about and then seek Him about what you're not. But then James 4:2 says, you have not because you ask not. And so I said all that. That was introduction, okay, to just simply say this. What God sent me here to do today to tell you that He has increased for you.
Amen.
Now I know, and I'm talking specifically about financial increase for you. And I know that, you know, we can get all, our flesh can get all excited about this, but I'm not coming here with a generic kind of, you know, something to cause your flesh to get all, you know, excited about it. I'm telling you what heaven has assigned for you. And in order for you to do what God's called you to do, you must believe Him for increase.
Amen.
My simple message today is to have faith for increase. God has assigned financial increase to you. And I'm hearing double. I'm hearing double, so I'm just going to say what I'm hearing God say. But you know, well, God, you know, I don't want to appear to be you know, covetous or greedy, or, you know, I'm dissatisfied with this or that or the other. That's fine, guys, but you know what? The bottom line is, if God put it in your heart, why would you want to leave anything that God's provided for you? Not realized. How many of you have ever got a Christmas present at Christmas? Anybody ever got a... We just had Christmas. Okay, all the Christmases that you've ever had, have you had presents under the tree? How many of them did you open? All of them. Why? You're going to open every present, right? Okay, it doesn't matter, even if it's socks or underwear. You're going to open, doesn't matter. You're going to open that present, right? Okay, there's a whole lot of gifts left unopened under Calvary's tree. And the Lord sent me here to tell you, He's got some gifts for you to open. His grace has assigned to you increase, but you've got to believe that. We just get too satisfied. And the Lord said that it's a life of faith. And He sent me here to spark you into believing. Yeah, but you know, I'm okay. I'm getting along fine. I mean, my needs are met. Yeah, but there are needs that the Lord has. On earth, through people that He needs you to believe Him for, and not be satisfied just with, you know, bless me and my husband and my two children and us four and no more. We got to stop all this, you know, just coasting with our faith. There is more, and He sent me here to tell you here in this church and with this group of people that the Lord needs you to open some gifts that He has provided under Calvary's tree. And there are people who are waiting on you to believe for that. It is for you, but it's not just for you. It's for people that are going to be reached. It's for the church to be blessed. It's for ministries to be blessed. It's for things to happen in the kingdom that won't happen if you don't believe Him. We only go as far in the kingdom as we believe Him for. And I'm not talking about, okay, I think I explained this pretty well. I'm not talking about something your flesh wants. Okay, forget that garbage. I'm not talking about, I'm not speaking to your flesh. I understand that can happen. I mean, I was raised up in the faith movement and people believing for oil wells and Cadillacs and you know, all kinds of, and other people's husbands and wives. Confessing for that, you know. You're confused and mixed up. You can't believe for something God's grace hasn't provided.
Amen. That's right.
But when God's grace is provided and you know it, you have not because you ask not. You still have to exercise your faith for that. You still have to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to go for that. And there's some people here. I know this. Or even me, preach this. God's put desires in your heart. He planted it there, but you're afraid to ask Him. You're concerned about what other people think. And Andrew was there. His whole thing about limiting God, if you remember, I was there with him. We were in all the ministers' conferences and you know, up in the hills. In Buena Vista, Colorado, and 120 of us all huddled together, and it was Andrew and blessing us and everything. But he said, God, I've got to take the limits off. We got to get down from this little 120 and reach more ministers. And there were some people that got mad about that. Well, I'm telling you guys, I came here to tell you, take the limits off. God has got more for you. And it's not just for you. It is for you and your family. But God wants to take the limits off of you so you can reach other people. And this is not some, it's not something that you, I understand your flesh could get involved with this, but I'm talking about what God's grace has provided for you. Are you hearing me? And why would we not, why you have not because you ask not? Why is that? Because we're concerned about what other people think, or you know, I don't want to be appear to be selfish, or I don't want to be appear to be greedy, or I don't want to, you know, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound, okay? So I get that. But listen, God's got much more, guys, for you. And He's got much more through you. And it's time for us to take the limits off. It's time for us to believe Him. And you know, it's all relative. I understand what He puts in your heart is going to be different than what He puts in mine. But I'm telling you, everything He puts in my heart and everything He's put in your heart, it's time for us to believe Him again. It's time for us to take the dust off of our faith and start believing again. It's time for us to stop coasting and us start believing again. Good preaching, Pastor Greg. Hallelujah. You know, Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please Him. Okay, look. There's an element of, how many of you have children? Okay, there's an element of, and two dimensions of God's pleasure. One is, you understand, you love, how many of you love those children? And how many of you love those children unconditionally? Okay, so they, your children by themselves give you pleasure just because they're your children. But then there's another dimension of their pleasure. How many of you have your children that have ever done anything that really blessed you? Where they did something nice and kind and to their brother or sister or to you or whatever, and it just blessed. And that is another dimension of pleasure. Do you know how many of you have ever had a child that whined? Did that just bless your heart? No. But how many of you have ever had that? Oh, I just love you, Daddy. I just love you, Mom. How many of you have? And it blessed you, right? How many of you know we can more or less bless the Lord? Yes. So I understand He's pleased with us even if we're living a prodigal lifestyle because He loves us, right? But then we can bless Him through our acts of faith. I know one time. And I was actually preaching along this line in my church about God's favor. And I was using the example of two of my granddaughters, Addie and Madeline. And they were 3 weeks apart. So I think they were six or seven years old at the time. It was about six. Anyway, they were both doing dance. Okay, and so we went down to the Will Rogers Coliseum in Fort Worth and watched 200 plus girls dance. And Addie and Madeline were in number 8 and number 47. And so we're sitting there watching all these girls, and you know, and we enjoyed it, and it was fine, and we finally settled in, and you know. But do you know the ones we took the pictures of? And you know, they didn't do everything perfect, but I'm telling you, we took pictures of Addie and Madeline like we did no other, right? Okay, and you know, God's like that with us. He's got our picture in His wallet. Well, I'm telling this story, okay? And Madeline happens to be in the service that day with her mom, Michelle, our daughter Michelle, and they're sitting right here, and I was just talking about this, you know, and how that they were our favorites, and we took pictures of Addie and Madeline, and I'm walking over here by her, and she jumps up in my arms. I lost it, man. It was over. You know what I'm saying? It was, I just lost it. And see, you understand that blessed me?
Still.
Yeah. When we step out, when God puts something in our hearts to believe Him for, and we step out to trust Him and go for that, no matter what other people say or think, it's like Madeline jumping up in my arms.
Yes.
It blesses the Lord for us to trust Him. Amen?
Amen.
For us to believe Him for things that are beyond what we're seeing right now in the natural. All right, God, You put this in my heart. I don't know how You're going to do it, but I'm just believing You and trusting You. And I just simple childlike faith. And it's just like we're leaping up in His arms. And it blesses Him like that. Are you hearing me? Yeah, I know we please Him because we're His children. But man, you couldn't give me a $10,000 and bless me more than Madeline jumping up in my arms. Or my son called me the other day and just telling me, Dad, I just want you to know I love you. I really appreciate you and really respect you. And I know you travel all over the world and do all this stuff, but it's awesome to be your son. And oh, forget it. I think I'm done today. Anyway, but it's like when we're trusting the Lord like that, guys, it touches the Father's heart. Amen. And so here's what He sent me to tell you today, that He's got, there's more on the menu for you. And it touches the Father's heart when you and I just believe Him. And don't worry about what people think. Well, you know, don't worry about, well, I don't want to be like, you know, those guys that are believing for $50 million airplanes. Well, but you know what? That's between them and God.
That's right.
I'm not going to, okay, in the natural, I can't relate to that. But the bottom line is, it's because He didn't put it in my heart. And I'm not going to condemn somebody who's believing. You know, the bottom line is, though, I am going to believe for everything God put in my heart. And I know He sent me here today to somebody needs to wipe the dust off of the present under Calvary's tree and believe God. There are souls at stake. There are eternal lives at stake. People's destiny is at stake. It's not just about you and me. But God, look, that's the way God operates. He partners with people on the earth. Somebody on earth has to agree with the Father's heart. And then God, and say like Mary said, be it unto me according to Your word, Lord. I shared last night, what would have happened had Mary said, be it not unto me according to Your word. Okay, and there's a lot of reasons for her to say that. Because she, yeah, I'm going to go to Joseph now and lose this guy who's good. Man, I mean, I'm set with this guy, right? He's a businessman and everything's good. Yeah, he's gonna believe that I got pregnant by God. Yeah, right. So there was a lot at risk for her. What if she would have said, be it not unto me according to Your word? Would Jesus still have been born? Yes, but not through Mary. And that's the way God operates in the earth. He finds somebody that He puts His desires in. He wants to accomplish something through. And we have to say, be it unto me according to Your word, Lord. I don't care if it hair lips the devil and the Pope and everybody else. I don't care. My family, it doesn't matter. I'm going to believe You. This is the look, guys. It pleases God to be available to man by faith instead of sight. That's the way God chose to be invisible. He could have Now, he became visible through Jesus, but faith pleases God. And by faith, God is within everyone's reach. And so is everything else he put in your heart. But faith is the way the kingdom of God operates. Are you hearing me? And he that comes to God, you've got to believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So believing there's a God is where the kingdom of God starts in us. How many of you know how you got into the kingdom of God? How many of you know how you got born again? Okay, you confess with your mouth, or believe in your heart, or confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you're saved, right? Okay, so do you know how you got, do you know what you had to believe in order to get into the kingdom? You know what you had to believe? You had to believe God raises dead people. Yeah? Do you believe that? Do you really believe God raises dead people? You can't get born again unless you believe that. Okay, so you believe that. And you still believe that. Okay, all right. So how many of you saw the event? How many of you saw him resurrected from the dead? Any of you saw it? How many of you believe that you're going to heaven when you die? Anybody ever been there? How many of you believe your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Has anybody seen the book? So let me get this straight. Pastor Jeremy, Pastor Randy and Melissa, you pastoring a crazy bunch of people here. I mean, your very eternal existence is based on an event that happened that you didn't see, yet you believe it. A place you're going you've never been, yet you believe that. And your name's written in a book that you're going to be judged out of if your name's not in there, and you've never seen it. Is that right? So you're believing, and you believed that. That's how you got born again. How many of you still believe that? You believe that, and yet you believe in all those things, yet you've never seen any of them. Right? And your eternal, your very eternal existence is staked on that. Is that true? Okay. Really? You believe that? How many of you really believe that with all your heart? Okay. Guys, let's get with the program. And so you believe all that, your eternal existence is based on that, and you struggle with a little healing that you haven't seen yet, a little financial blessing you haven't seen yet, a little relational harmony you're believing for, you haven't seen that yet. I mean, come on, guys. We're believers. Say, I'm a believer. What do believers do?
Believe.
Believers do. What? Have you ever had a doubt after you believed something?
Yes.
Yeah, what do you do with the doubt? John Osteen taught me this.
Doubt.
I doubt you, doubt. Doubts are made to doubt. You don't believe your doubts. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
Guys, we are believers. And so God sent me here today to tell you he's put desires in your heart. And he wants you to wipe the dust off of your faith and believe that. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Believe it. So, Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Right? How shall he not with him freely give us all things? See, we don't have a struggle with the big thing. The big thing he delivered him for us all, for our salvation and everything. And then he said, with him, I'll freely give you everything else. Look, if you believed him for the big thing, how many of you know the small thing's not a problem? And we need to believe, but we do need to believe. So let me take you with me to about 3 years ago. It's maybe 3 and a half now. I know James and Pat were in school then. And Jesse Duplantis came to Karis. And I think it was 3 years now, back in September. And he's come every year. And, you know, Jesse, I've heard him lots of times. Okay? And he's a funny. How many of you have heard Jesse DuPont? He's funny. He cracks me up. He's, he's an encourager, an exhorter. But up until that time, and it could have been me, I don't know. Up until that time, I never got any revelation from him. I mean, he's an evangelist. He's not a teacher, typically. And it could have just been me. Maybe I wasn't open. But so I wasn't expecting anything. I had zero. I don't know. Were you guys there when he? So I'm sitting on the side where the staff sit, and he's preaching, and he's talking about a desire God put in his heart to bless his daughter. I think with a car or something, you know, and maybe to help him with their house or whatever it was. And it was all of a sudden he starts talking about, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God starts speaking to me. I couldn't hear much of what he was saying. And the Lord was telling me, I'm talking to you through him because I've put desires in your heart that I want that you've stopped believing me for. And I start crying because I saw the Lord was, I didn't realize it. I didn't realize that I had these, what I had done is, you know, there were some things he put in my heart. I wanted a new car for my wife. My daughter had gone through a terrible divorce and abusive situation, and she was driving a bomb. I mean, a total bomb. And I wanted to get her a new car. God put in my heart to help Wendell and Wendell Parr and Barry Bennett with the books that they had that they wanted to write and publish. I had a book at that time, A Prosperous Soul, that's out here that I wanted to get in print. There was some I wanted to give to Andrew's. I wanted to give more to Andrew's ministry. There were some things I started thinking. He was talking about how he wanted to bless his daughter. And it was like, and God would just use that to show me. He said, God put it in my heart to do these things, and the Lord start all of a sudden opening up all these things under Calvary's tree that were unopened. I'd stop believing for it, and it wasn't because we were making a good income. It wasn't that, but it was because the things He put in my heart were beyond the level of income that I had at the time. So we our needs were met and more, but it was like there were things He was asking me to believe Him for that was beyond the streams of revenue that we were experiencing. Are you hearing me? So I just let my faith go dormant. Faith is what pleases God, guys. Dormant faith doesn't please Him, doesn't bless Him. I mean, He still loves me, but He wanted to do more through me. And I was repenting right there. Barry came to me afterward and telling me the same thing, similar thing. God put some, did he talk about that? And how God had put some things in his heart. And it was independent of each other. And I wanted to do some significant things. And I saw heaven had assigned that to me. But I'd let life's dust collect on top of it. And I left all those gifts under Calvary's tree. And I'm not asking for things. I'm not talking about things that my flesh wants. I'm talking about things God's put in my heart. Are you hearing me? And so right there, I just said, okay, God, I repent. You put this in my heart to help. You put this in my heart. I wanted my wife to have a new car. I wanted my daughter to have a car, a paid for car. I wanted to help Wendell and Barry print their first books that were their own. I wanted to get my book printed. I wanted to. There was a number of things he put in my heart, and I didn't ask him something. Well, let me just think about what my flesh wants. No, it was the things that God put in my heart. And I began, right there, I'd started repenting. I said, okay, God, right now, I believe you for this. I'm asking you for this. I'm trusting you for this. And I'm calling those things that be not as though they were. Yes?
Yes.
Right. I just started believing. What do believers do? Believers believe. And I started confessing that. And, you know, all of this lines up with the promise that God gave us in Genesis 12:2, that he told Abraham, you're going to be blessed to be a blessing. You're blessed to be a blessing. Everybody say, I'm blessed,
to be a
blessing. And in Galatians 3:29, if you're Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What promise? I'm blessed to be a blessing. So I know, I understand what prosperity is about. God wants to bless me so I can be a blessing. But if you have this attitude that, well, God, you know, it's okay. Just my needs met is all right. I'm all right. I know, you know, just get by in life and all that. You're selfish. Because you're just thinking about you. Now, I'm okay trusting God with nothing. All right? But I'm talking about God's got more. And what is it that he's put in your heart? That's what I'm asking. What has he assigned to you? Because heaven and earth need you to believe him for that. Are you hearing me? And then look at 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. And I know I teach this. I've got a course called Prosperity God's Way, and some of you have heard that. And I teach this in that, but I'm not afraid to teach it again here. Okay? 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you. How many of you want all grace, not just some? All grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency. What does sufficiency mean? Enough. Everybody say enough. So all grace abounds towards you, so you'll have enough. Okay? So biblical prosperity is that I would have enough. Everybody say enough. And all things. And you may have an abundance for every good work. What would abundance be? It'd be more than enough or extra. Say, so biblical prosperity is having enough and extra. And for every good work. What is every good work? Every good work that you put in your heart. I can't give to every place, but I can give every place that he puts in my heart. That's Bible prosperity, guys. And if you're, look, how many of you have ever had a need in your life that you didn't have money in your hands to pay for? Anybody ever been there? All right, can anybody remember that amount, how much that was? You didn't have it in the bank or in your hand to pay for, and you were believing God for that amount. How much was that? Somebody tell me. 20,000. Okay. Anybody else? 80,000.
Okay.
$80. That's all right. That's okay.
Amen.
It's all relative. Okay. Anybody else? One more person. Yes, sir. 250,000. Okay. So it's all relative. You had an 80,000 need. You had a 250,000. You had an $80 need. Okay. When you were praying for that, did you have the 80,000 in your hand? No. So, and did you have the 250,000? Did you have the $80? No. How much was enough to meet that $80,000 need? How much was enough?
The full amount. Well, mine was
20. Yeah. Oh, 20,000. I'm sorry. 20,000. How much was enough to meet the $20,000 need? 20,000. How much was enough to meet the 250. How much was enough for the 80? 80. These are pretty smart people, aren't they? Okay. Here's the point. When you had that $20,000 need, when you had that 250,000 need, when you had the $80 need, did you have the money in your hand? Okay. If you understand what biblical prosperity is enough and extra? Is it enough? When you have a $20,000 need to pray for $20,000? No. No. No, because if you understand biblical prosperity, it's enough and extra. And so when the devil comes to you with lack and you have a need, if you understand biblical prosperity, it's never enough to pray for just enough. Make the devil pay. Double. Make him pay. He comes to you with lack. Well, I'm going to prove to you, Mr. Devil, I'm not just asking for my need. I'm going to get other people's needs met. I'm going to get other things accomplished. I'm going to believe God for double or whatever. But it's never enough to pray for just enough.
Amen.
Good preaching, Pastor Greg.
No,
just why would you want to pray for just enough? Pray for more than enough. So there I was, sitting in that seat. And my needs were met, guys. I was okay, but it was like there was desires God put in my heart, and I started believing Him. I confessed the word over it. I thanked Him after that for those things. And I'm telling you, 1 year's time. Everybody say a year. In 1 year's time, man, my wife had a new car. My daughter had a new car. I helped Barry, and my ministry helped Barry and Wendell print their new books, pay for it with the books. I mean, we're talking about several thousand dollars. My book was done. I was able to give a big offering to Andrew's ministry and some other ministries that God put in my heart. I wanted to bless my children and some other things He put in my... Listen, within 1 year's time, all of that came to pass. Guys, it will... Listen, you know, what was the difference? Up to that time, I'd had all these desires in my heart. None of them came to pass. It's because I believed. And the Lord sent me here today. Okay, we have landed now, all right? Okay, we have landed. But the Lord sent me here today to stir you up. I'm not talking about some whim of your flesh. I'm talking about desires that the Father planted in your heart. What is your name? Amy. God's got wonderful things for you, Amy. Amy, are you married? Okay, do you want to be? Okay, I believe God's got a good mate for you, Amy.
Amen.
I believe God's got a good mate for you.
Amen.
He's got a, do you have a job? Okay, is it the job that you want? Okay, God's got a better job for you, Amy. God sent me here to talk to you. Okay? That you need to take the lid off, take the limits off, and go for everything He put in your heart. And don't measure anything by the natural. You just go by what God's put in the Spirit. And you know what? It pleases God when you believe Him like that. Father, we just release. We just release to Amy all the things that You put in her heart, every desire of her heart, Lord. We just, Lord, help her just give herself permission to believe You for those things You put in her heart. Some of them, Amy, a long time ago, even as a little girl, God's put these things in your heart. And God, those things were from Him, and He's going to bring your dreams to pass.
Amen.
It gives Him pleasure to bring your dreams to pass and your desires to pass. And we agree, Lord, that she is going to be a blessing, even a greater blessing to others and to Your kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen? Guys, it's time. It's time. It's time for us to believe Him. It's time for us to step up. It's time for us to step out. It's time for us to stop just dabbling on the edge and just kind of putting our toe in the water. It's time to jump all in on the things we know. I'm not talking about you. If you remember back, I said you ask for what you're sure about. I'm not talking about believing Him for something you're not sure about. Forget that. You seek Him about that. But the things you're sure about, that's the stuff you go for. That's the stuff we believe for. That's what we're going to walk into. And you know what? It's not just going to be enough. It's going to be enough and extra. Amen. Why don't you stand up with me? It's time, guys. It's past time. You know what? This church needs a building. They don't need to be put out. I understand Pastor Melissa's trying to be kind about the school, but that's a bunch of garbage. They're shutting the school down because they're afraid it might rain. That's like the guy that says, you know, I'm in love with you, honey, you know, his fiance, and I climb the highest mountain, I'll swim the deepest ocean, and I'll see you Saturday night if it don't rain. this church needs a place. And Father, we just want to thank you for the home that you have prepared for this church. And we're just prophesying and speaking out, Father, that you have a home, a much more permanent home for this church. Father, so that there can be the growth that you need. Father, for people to be saved, healed, set free, delivered, can hear wonderful messages like this and come into their inheritance in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The Lord needs this church to have its own place. And so we're just calling it in, Father, in Jesus' name. Praise God. Listen, guys, right now, whatever it is that how many of you God speaking to right now about something he's put in your heart? Amen. I mean, right now, just do like I did on that front row at Karis. Right now, just repent. Just say, Lord, forgive me for not believing. Forgive me for not trusting you. I'm asking you largely, Lord, for everything you put in my heart. Right now, just begin to tell him. Just begin to tell him. Father, we're believers. We're not doubters. And we're believing, Father, for everything that you put in our hearts. Some of you you are believing for a home to be paid for. I agree with you right now. That house is paid for. Some of you are believing for a new home. I agree with you for that new home. There's somebody believing with Amy for there's a better job. I just agree for better jobs. In fact, somebody's in a job right now, and God's going to deliver you out of that, promote you, and bring you into a VP role in a larger corporation. Someone else is here that God's got a business he's gonna birth through you that's going to be significant in the kingdom. So, Father, we just want to thank you for all that you have for us. Someone else is here, and you can take that word. Was it Amy? Is that right? Well, you can take that word I gave to Amy. God's got a spouse for you. Amen? But you need to wait on God to make sure and you let the dating process be the discovery. Don't you decide. You discover. Amen. Father, we look right now. Go for it, guys. Go for it in your prayers. We're going for it, Father. We're believing you. We're believing you. We're believers, not doubters. Hallelujah. We call those things that be not as though they were, Lord. We call in those things that you put in our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right, let me stop. Somebody is letting their mind get in the way right now. Because you've heard prosperity preached in ways that it was carnal and it was fleshly and it was feeding on people's covetousness. But guys, just because somebody did it wrong, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You still need to believe, and God needs you to believe. And so, Father, I'm just releasing. I break the power of any unbelief or deception off of people, and I just release them, Father, into faith in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, how many of you are born again? If you die tonight, you go to heaven. How many of you know that? Okay, put your hand down. How many of you just need, for this beginning of this year, just a fresh start with God? Maybe you're not sure you're born again, or maybe you are, but you haven't really been all in with the Lord. And it's time to get all in. And if that's you, I'm not going to have you come up here. I just want to agree with you right where you're at. Just lift your hand. Amen. I see that hand. Others of you? Amen. I see those hands. Praise God. See those hands. Amen. You know what, guys? There's four or five hands lifted. Do you know what? look up here at me. God, you know what I shared about Madeline jumping up in my arms? Can I tell you, you lifting your hand today is like that to the Lord. It's so precious to Him. Amen. So let's all pray together with these. Just say, Father, I want to thank You. You are a good God. And You love me. In spite of me. And I choose 2019 to be all in with You. I rejoice that You're my Lord. And You've got a great plan for my life. And I'm not going to stay on the bank anymore. I'm all in. In Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord, for the adventure that we're going to have together. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, how many of you believed God, stirred up your faith today to believe Him for increase? Okay, about something specific. Something specific. If that's you, lift your hand. Or something specific. You don't have to tell me what it is. Father, I agree right now that everything that You put in their heart, it's coming to pass. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. God bless you guys. We love you. This has been great. I'm going to be at River of Life Church at 7 o'clock tonight. I think it's on Munford Road. But anyway, and then Tuesday night back here, what time?
6:30.
At 6.
At 6.